live from the Jeep Factory in Toledo, Ohio, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, Illinois State Scholar, Lewis and Clark Community College Presidential Award winner, Doctor of Law, Holy Ghost Grade School Spelling Champion, and the longtime legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And are you ready for it? Marksman, sculptor, daredevil, the 7-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who once climbed the 27th highest mountain in Colorado, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers, and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to be here. Great to be here. I'm glad you could all come. Settle down.
Thanks for having me on your show, Al. You like that, don't you?
I love it.
I was thinking.
Right. Before we're going for it, eat a malted milk ball. Just enjoy the moment. Why are these good?
I was thinking it would be nice to have like
They're good for you.
Like have a little tape recorder or player with applause on it. You know, and like when you say, hey, Sarah, you know, I was thinking it'd be a good idea to, you know, get a new car and hit the button and just start having applause come. Every time that you have a good idea, you get applause.
In your house.
Yeah. Everywhere you went. You're out like at a board meeting where you're chairing a board meeting and you say, here's what I think. And after you say it, hit the applause button. And everyone goes, well, I guess it was a good idea.
We were able to leverage this machine by purchasing it and then leasing it back to the company that we purchased it from originally.
Yay!
Thank you. Yeah, okay. Everybody quick, it's the administrator.
Turn on the machine that goes, bing!
Is there really a Jeep factory in Toledo, huh?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
And that song was actually Jeepster by T-Rex.
Toledo, Ohio was a big, big manufacturing city at one time. I don't know if they... You know what else they made there?
Cigars.
Scales. Weights and measure scales.
In Toledo?
Toledo Scale Company.
I did not know that.
Probably half the scales made in America were made in Toledo, Ohio.
Well, I'm glad I came tonight.
Yeah, okay. We can call tonight. That's all you need to know.
Okay, I was going to talk to you about being a knight.
Yes, yes.
Like you're a knight
of... Is that what you're striving for?
Yeah, you're a knight of Columbus, right?
I am. I don't remember anybody swinging a sword at me or tapping me on the shoulder.
No, but I mean, that's kind of a ceremonial American thing, you know, because we don't really have...
But I think if you get to a certain level in the Knights of Columbus, you do get to carry a sword.
You do, if you're a fourth degree knight.
Can you walk down the street, public street, carrying a sword like that?
And just clear the sidewalk as you go.
What if I were a Knights of Columbus and I was that whatever degree knight and I was walking along with the costume and the plumage and the flowing robes and his excellence. No, but you know, the outfit that they wear and they have a sword and I think they have one of those straps that goes sideways across you.
Yeah, with bullets.
Not bullets. Yeah. That's
Sancho Panza.
No, it just has, I think it has like badges on it and stuff like that.
You remember our old...
But wait, I didn't finish my thought.
Okay.
I always finish my thought. So if I was wearing that costume, uniform, and carrying a sword, could I walk up and down the streets? Well, I'm on my way to Knights of Columbus meeting.
Yeah, I think so. You remember our old podcast mate, Greg Ringhausen?
Oh, the late Greg Ringhausen. Yeah. He was late for everything.
He was a fourth degree Knight of Columbus.
Right. So he has a sword.
He has it. And Greg, You know, when he went down the sidewalk in Jerseyville, when he lived in Jerseyville,
could have strapped it on.
It was like a bloodbath.
I'm guessing.
Get out of my way.
I'm guessing that you could get away with the sword strapped to your side, but if when you start brandishing it and threatening the citizens of our community with it, that's when you're going to get in trouble.
I was thinking like the police, you know, coming up on.
I'm a knight. On a night's errand.
Yeah, the police, you know, handling some, you know, like a fight or something at a bar, and you step up to back them. I'm here.
I'm a knight.
And pull your sword.
Okay, this gets us to our subject.
Yeah, I was
believe it or not.
I was reading about Paul McCartney. Sir Paul McCartney. Paul is, and I've got information about this.
Here. I can't reach that far. I have short arms.
Okay, what I found out, you know, there's a bunch of these guys who are knights, you know, in England that they've kind of given out like candy, like Michael Caine, actor.
Yeah.
He's Sir Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Barry Gibb, Elton John, Brian May. Brian May was the guitarist for Queen. I can't imagine he would have gotten knighted if Freddie Mercury was still alive. They would give it to Freddie Mercury, right?
They would have made him the Queen.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Roger Daltrey.
Who's Billy Connolly?
Oh, there's some. Some Scottish comic.
Really?
Sir Tom Jones. Van Morrison.
Hey, Tom Jones earned it.
Oh, yeah.
You ever watch any of those old videos of him, like, when he would dance around?
Oh.
I mean, he was working hard up there on
Tom
stage.
Tom Jones, yeah. Women love Tom Jones.
He was a performer.
Tom Jones was a performer in the style of. Late Elvis. Like when Elvis was...
He was like...
When Elvis was in Vegas.
Yeah.
On stage.
Yeah, yeah. He was like the British Elvis.
Yeah, like at that time, I mean.
Right. Yeah, at that time. Cliff Richard never got him. I mean, they loved him over there in England, but America never embraced Cliff Richard.
In the shadows. Yeah, he got knighted, though. But what I was noticing is there's like four or five levels of this most excellent order of the British Empire, right?
Yeah.
The Grand Knight, he's the top thing, or the Knight Commander. Those two are honest-to-God knights that, you know, if the Queen has trouble, that they are supposed to show up with their swords.
Who's that? Which, the Grand Knight of the Grand Cross?
Yeah.
Or Knight Commander.
Both of those two are honest-to-God knights.
Okay. And how many of these people are actually on that list?
None that we just talked about. Then they have the commander of the most excellent order of the British Empire, an officer of the excellent order of the British Empire, and a member, the MBE. If you remember in 1964, the Beatles got the MBE.
Okay.
Remember they got medals from the Queen?
Yeah, and they had pictures of them holding their medals.
Yeah, and on like Sergeant...
And like Ringo's looking at it. He could care less.
They wore them on Sergeant Pepper. If you look at the Sergeant Pepper album, they're actually wearing their medals. And like some of the old British farts sent their medals back in protest that the Queen had given. Yeah,
and what did they accomplish by doing that?
Nothing.
Who got hurt? They just hurt themselves.
Nobody. But what I found out is that the Queen can make you what's known as a knight bachelor. So even if you're in one of those low orders like that, you can still be sir, like Sir Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
But what I noticed was, you know, Paul McCartney was like one of the first ones that got knighted. Okay? He was an MBE originally in 1964, but then he became a bachelor knight.
Okay.
You know, and was a Sir Paul McCartney. Now, some of the other yahoos, you know, the Queen didn't want to make them knights, but she gave them medals like, let's see, Roger Daltrey, Brian May. They became like commanders of the British Empire, which was 2 degrees higher than John, Paul, George, and Ringo in 1964. But Paul was a knight. But then the Queen turned around, knighted those guys. So the result is that when you line them up according to rank, that makes Roger Daltrey higher ranked than Paul McCartney, because he was a higher member of the Empire.
Is that a fact?
Yeah. And Ringo, so Paul and Ringo of that list of guys we were talking about, Paul and Ringo have to sit at the far end of the back table because they're the lowest ranked. They're knights. They're all knights, but they have the lowest ranked medal. And what I found out, right, was that, you know, that Paul got knighted first. John died, but John had sent his medal back earlier to protest some damn thing that nobody cared about.
Right.
So he wasn't ever going to get knighted. So the question then was, the next one up was George.
Yeah, the quiet beetle.
And they didn't knight George, but they gave him a promotion. They moved him up like two or three notches, but didn't give him a knighthood. And then he died.
Mm-hmm.
And George was always disappointed that he didn't get knighted.
Is that a fact? You talked to him about that, didn't you?
I did. And then as a sop to the Beatles, they made Ringo a knight then after that.
Okay.
So that was the story of him.
It's kind of all chopped up, isn't it?
It is.
What about the Stones? Did that those scumbags in?
Sir Mick Jagger, man. Okay. Mick Jagger's a stone is a knight. And I was just thinking about, if you look on the back of this sheet.
Don't get me wrong. I love the Stones. I love their music.
The main responsibilities of a knight are on the backside. Did you see that?
Okay. Military service.
The primary role of a knight is to serve as a professional warrior. Hmm. You're going to call out all these 80-year-old men and pull their swords and just, like, clean a path down London streets.
Participate in battles, sieges, tournaments, demonstrating their prowess and protecting their liege lord's interests. This sounds like people working for Trump.
Chivalry. Knights are bound by a code of conduct known as chivalry. Now, okay. I think of it.
Never mind. They're not working for Trump.
Well, what I was going to say is, do you think of Mick Jagger when you think of chivalry?
Not a lot. As a matter of fact, I don't know. There's hardly anybody on that list that I think of as being chivalrous.
Protection of the realm. Maintaining law and order. See, this is what I'm saying. If there's riots in London,
yeah,
Queen can call these
call
guys
out the knights.
Get the knights out.
And it's the king now, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's right, King Charles.
Yeah.
Service to the liege, the lord.
I mean, after 60 years of saying hail to the queen, I
know it's tough to go. Yeah. Training and education. Knights underwent rigorous training from a young age and a symbol of nobility.
Protection of the realm.
Okay, so I have a slightly related story about American royalty. You want a slightly related story about American royalty?
Lay it on me.
I want you to read this news story.
Again, I got short arms. Where am I reading? What am I?
Right underneath I typed it out so you could read it easier.
Oh, the biggest deal in apples?
Yeah.
That has ever occurred in the United States of America took place the other day.
And wait, before I go any further, this was from the Australiasen in November 27th of 1915.
Australia.
This is an Australian newspaper.
1915.
Has this story. Now go ahead.
The biggest deal in apples that has ever occurred in the United States of America took place the other day. Mr. Chris Ringhausen, Calhoun County, who is known in America as the Apple King, has sold his crops growing in four orchards for $29,400. It's estimated that the total yield will be 21,000 barrels. Mr. Ringhausen, according to an agreement between himself and the buyer, will pick the crop and place it on the sorting table, but the buyer will sort, pack the fruit, and run all risks of damage done to the crop before it is gathered.
How about that? The apple?
That equated to 63,000 bushels of apples.
Or 3,165 20-bushel crates to bring it up to modern standards.
I saw fruit. Most people have no idea what we're even talking about, but when you put it in the 20-bushel crate.
A barrel is 3 bushels of apples.
Right.
Value? $29,000 in 1915?
Yeah, what's that equate to in the modern day?
$943,000.
He was doing pretty good. What happened to all that?
That must have went south. But, you know, I know we discussed this before, but I just want to touch on it again. The only Ringhausen of all the Ringhausens in the world still growing apples, Joe Ringhausen. Well, and then Dennis is
okay,
son.
Okay, right. Does that mean that they continue the line of royalty then?
Obviously, Joe's the king.
He's the king. And Dennis is a prince.
Dennis is the crown prince. I mean, technically I am, because I would be the oldest. And then you.
But you're not growing fruit, are you?
But you and I are not growing fruit. So Dennis would come the next in line. And then Brad's like the Prince Harry, you know, that just goes crazy.
I was going to say the court jester. I think in some castles they referred to him as the fool.
Yeah, the fool. I like that.
We're both getting punched, aren't we?
Yeah, Benny isn't here. But I was just thinking about that. I mean, you know, Joe Ringhausen would be the Apple King now.
He would be.
Because there's no other Ringhausens left. And it's not like that title would have passed to someone else who's not a Ringhausen.
So you have to be part of that bloodline.
I think you got to be part of the bloodline.
Right. Interesting. And that was circulated to where it made it all the way to Australia.
That would have been the...
I think that if you look in the Illinois Horticultural Guide, it also references Chris Ringhausen as the Apple King.
I was actually kind of looking for that and then tripped over this thing from an Australian newspaper. I'm like, you got to be kidding
1917,
me.
Over 100 years ago.
I know, kind of amazing, isn't it?
It is kind of bizarre.
Okay, but here's where I'm going with this.
You know that when he died, his orchards were divided, and each one of his sons got an orchard?
Yeah, I did know that. Yeah. But they don't have them anymore.
No, but one of those orchards is still being used, and it's where Mom and Dad live right now.
I know that. So that's kind of cool. Okay, here's where I'm going with this. And this is where I'm going to actually pick...
You know, when I think about it, Rick... Yeah. I think there's probably an apple tree still living there that was planted by the Apple King.
You mean the current Apple King?
No, I mean by, like, our dad's...
You think there's a 100-year-old apple tree in that farm, do you?
I do.
Where?
Right across the road. There's a couple of red delicious trees that have been there ever since Dad's been alive and longer.
No kidding.
And how old's Dad?
Well, that automatically kicks it up 90 years.
Yeah, at least. All right, go on.
Okay.
Go on with your lies.
Look at the other side. Look at the other side of the sheet I just gave you.
Okay.
These would be medals of the Apple King.
Oh, okay. This is what you have come up with. Okay. Such as the purple apple, awarded for those wounded or killed while working in the orchard.
Okay.
And what...
I would get a purple apple.
What have you done?
I was wounded building the packing shed.
I remember you crying.
Shot in the eye. While building the packing... That's a wound.
Okay.
While doing orchard work. I mean, I understand, you know, you might have broken your arm, you know, goofing around in the packing shed. But that's not a wound doing orchard.
I was working. I was working that day.
That's not what you were doing when you got wounded, though. I would get this purple apple.
What about Dennis getting run over by a tractor?
I didn't know Dennis got run over by a tractor.
I think, didn't Bruce Ringhausen run over Dennis with the tractor? I think he did.
Maybe. He doesn't have any wounds from it.
But he was on his bike.
He doesn't have any wounds.
So that probably didn't count as working.
Now, here's my question. Brad Ringhausen, when he was a young guy.
Yeah.
We were out picking fruit, and it was a hot day.
I think that qualifies.
We ran out of water, and we send Brad to the house to get water. And when he gets to the garage, he, like, for whatever reason, instead of just turning the knob and open the door.
Well,
like,
that door always kind of stuck a little bit.
And to open the stuck door.
It was
door,
humid. It was stuck.
Yeah. And it was a 9-pane piece of glass, you know, with 9 little pieces. Yeah. And Brad just slammed his arms and slashed them right through the glass. And cut both of his arms. I'm sure he still has
severely.
Scars. He's got scars on his arms.
Oh, he's got, yeah, great scars.
He went and bled all over the house.
And didn't clean it up.
No, and he was a little kid, you know. So he wraps himself up with paper towels.
Right.
But he has the sense to bring the water jug.
He brought the water
back.
Jug
He filled
back.
His water jug and brought it back.
He gets an award just for that.
That's a, yeah, Brad would get a purple apple for that,
apple.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Now, have you personally been injured during the course of orchard work? I have some vague recollection of us going out to string barbed wire once.
No, yeah. Yeah, I got hit in the back with a roll of barbed wire. That qualifies, doesn't
it? We were sitting on the back of a wagon, and when we went up a hill, the barbed wire on a roll rolled backwards. And you didn't have a shirt on, it just like you'd been whipped with a cat of nine tails.
I've still got scars from that.
It was pretty interesting. So you might get a purple.
Hmm.
And Dad just did fall off a ladder lately. I mean, I'm sure he'd be entitled. Yeah. And he got hit in the head back when he was loading trucks once.
Yeah, a crate fell on him.
Yeah. I think we're all purple appled on that.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. The Medal of Orchard Honor. Those who have distinguished themselves by acts of valor, bravery.
Yeah, I've got it.
Oh, shit. What's your act of valor or bravery that you've done?
When Dad got hit in the head and was out of commission, I stepped up and ran the crew.
That's not bravery.
Do you know who was picking for us back then? It was a pretty rough crew.
Okay, now, I might give you this next one, the Distinguished Orchard Service Award, presented to orchard workers and managers who have distinguished themselves by exceptionally meritorious service to the orchard in a duty of great responsibility. I think you've described what you might be entitled to here.
Okay.
Performance must be such as to merit recognition for service that is clearly exceptional. The exceptional performance of normal duty alone will not justify an award of this decoration.
Okay.
You stepped up in that point and did service. I think you should get the Distinguished Service Orchard Award.
Okay. What about this ultimate award, the Silver Apple Medal, awarded primarily to orchard workers for gallantry in action against an enemy of the orchard? What the hell does that even mean?
I don't know. I was thinking, like, back in the day when we had our orchard on one side of the road and Chuck Ringhausen's family had their orchards on the other side, they were in competition with us. I'd say if we had, like, an, you know, if they, like, crossed the road onto our side and we drove them off by throwing apples at them, you might get one for that.
That'd be good. You know, the one tactic that they had, since we're talking military-ish, they had an incentive that we did not have. They had a morning sandwich break.
They did?
They would take a sandwich break. And they'd send JB in to make sandwiches and then all complain about what was taking JB so long to bring back the sandwiches.
We never got
sandwich. We never had a sandwich
Didn't
break.
We had a sandwich break.
We were lucky if we got water. Where's Brad?
How long's he going to be out there? How long's it take to get water?
I don't really remember taking breaks at all. What the heck was that about?
Oh, we took a little break at 10 o'clock. You can get a 10-minute break.
Okay.
What I remember about the breaks in the orchard was it'd be hotter than blue blazes. You know, and at 10 o'clock come, we'd take a break, like for 5 or 10 minutes. And before the break would be over, the old man would be up and start picking again.
Right, to guilt you back.
to start work sooner than your break that you were entitled to by the union.
He still does that.
Yeah, you know. Like Dennis be sitting reading comic books and the old man come in, let's go. What?
Was this yesterday? What are you talking about? No, okay.
No, I'm saying.
Now Dennis is going to punch you.
Dennis doesn't listen to the podcast.
Right, never mind. He thinks they're stupid. No, wait a minute. He thinks you're stupid.
So we've all got purple hearts, right? Or purple apples.
Well, some would say you've got a black heart, Rick.
What I was wondering, you know.
Yeah, go ahead. Wander on, Rick.
When I was, like, managing this orchard.
Yeah.
Which one of those medals I would have earned?
You think you got hurt. What? What was your wound?
I got shot in the eye.
Oh, that's
with
right.
With a nail.
And was there any permanent damage? Was there any temporary damage? Was there any damage at all?
I still have a scar on my eyeball that's visible. I go to the eye doctor. He says, you got a scar on that left eye. What happened there? I just got hit in the eye with a nail. But my eye was so tough, the nail bounced off of it instead of puncturing it.
I was getting stung. Does that count?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, we all got stung a bunch of times out there.
Wounded or killed while working in the orchard?
Well, I can't remember anybody getting killed.
It was a tough business back in the day.
His Purple Apple Award, our longtime orchard worker, Othar Tinker, would have a whole drawer full of these. He was always cut and bleeding.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Othar was like, he always seemed like he was about 80 years old to me.
He was like the Methuselah of the orchard.
I mean, he couldn't have been more than 60-something, could he?
Probably not. I don't know if that.
You know, but he seemed really, really, really old.
He was really old.
And, you know, he didn't drive.
And he chain-smoked his roll-your-own cigarettes.
And not pot.
No.
Just
Prince Albert in a can.
Prince Albert in a can, and you get wrapping papers because it's cheaper than buying pre-made cigarettes.
You know, my theory on that is, he was doing that to keep him from smoking as many, because it took a long time putting those together.
To roll a cigarette?
Yeah, you know, he'd wait, he'd take a break to roll up a cigarette, and it'd take forever. Plus, his fingers were real thick and leathery.
He didn't hardly have any spittle to make it stick. It's like dragging your finger across it to lick it.
I always kind of wanted to be like that girl from True Grit, where she takes John Wayne's paper away from him.
Your makings are too dry.
and does it for him and sticks it right in his mouth. That was always a nice move, I thought.
Yeah, I thought that too. But Othar was always on blood thinner, so it didn't take any scratch or cut would just bleed, bleed, and bleed. It looked terrible.
Oh, it was. It was disturbing.
You know, I don't bleed like that. I mean, do you ever bleed like that? Like if you get cut to where you just really bleed?
Well, I mean, cuts that are bad enough to get stitches, yeah.
Bad enough to get an award.
Right. I cut this thumb here, cut it to the bone with an angle grinder. Have I told you that?
I don't know.
And I was out at the orchard, and working in the machine shed right behind the orchard.
Were you doing orchard work?
Well, I don't know, kind of. Anyway, I cut my thumb on that, and I go into the Apple House, the main building, and Dennis is in there. And he sees blood running all over. He said, well, I guess I better haul you to the emergency room. And I said, well, wait a minute. Let me call Sarah, let her know what we're doing. And so I call her and said, hey, looks like I probably need to go to the emergency room. And she says, are you sure? I said,
we don't have insurance for that.
I said, I'm pretty sure. And she said, all right, just stay there. I'll be up there and I'll take you to the emergency room as soon as I put on some makeup.
Nice.
So I sat down and watched Beverly Hillbillies while...
Oh, I got my hand chopped with a hoe. I have scars to this day on my hand.
Was that orchard work?
It was related to the farm.
I don't know.
It was chopping weeds to get a gate for the animals.
Yeah, I don't know. That's iffy at best.
No, it's not. And for loyal listeners, it was Alan that chopped my hand with a hoe.
What about stepping on a nail? Does that count?
Well, I've done that before. Depends on what you're doing. If you're out, like, setting up the band and step on a nail.
What about getting knocked out?
When you're sledding, okay. I don't think that counts. Right. That's not orchard related.
It's orchard truck.
Anybody fall off a ladder, broken ladder, fall and hurt yourself?
Not enough to break a bone or require medical attention, I don't think.
Didn't a ladder hit mom in the head not too long ago when she's closing the package?
She deserves the
she
medal.
She should get a medal. Yeah. Don't you think mom should get one? Purple Apple Award?
Yeah.
Plus, having put up with all of us over these years.
That was her job.
Yeah, it's got to be something outside the ordinary.
What's that got to do with apples? I think having an apple ladder hit you in the head and kind of knocked her out.
Yeah.
That counts.
That counts.
That counts. Yeah, it's funny. Mom and Dad both been knocked out.
You're hit in the head with a piece of orchard equipment while you're standing in the orchard shed.
Yeah.
And shutting the door to the packing shed was orchard work.
What about Larry Clunks? He done anything to get one?
He's got more scars and cuts than anybody I know.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure any of them were work-related, really.
I doubt it. I doubt that. Yeah, he does have a lot of cuts and scars.
Yeah. Boy, I remember Larry one time. This doesn't have anything to do with our awards, but I just remember him like rolling a motorcycle over on the side and like the exhaust manifold laid against his leg.
Yeah, for too long. And when he stood back up, it took the skin off.
Like a big chunk of it. Yeah. I mean, he had to have a skin graft for that one, didn't he?
Yeah. That was not orchard related. Of that, I'm sure. And that happened right after I had just had a horrible motorcycle accident, too.
Oh, we ran the thing through your hand?
Yeah, that wasn't orchard related either. other than the fact that we drove through the orchard to have the wreck. Mm-hmm. Does that count? I don't know. Anyway, we're out of time.
Well, that's hard to believe.
It's real.
Well, Prince Alan.
Yes, Sir Richard.
It's been nice to have you. See you later from Sir Richard Ringhausen.
And Sir Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes, because, you know, there aren't any.